We're joined in the studio now by Anna Richards, who heads up the Chapel Hill Carrboro NAACP. Chapel Hill Carrboro, NAACP.com is their website. A lot to talk about this week, but one of the things that we've had in the news for the last few days, and just an update on this today, that an appeal has been filed up to a higher court. So the court battle is going to continue, but significant decision coming down last week Friday on a lawsuit that was filed initially by the NAACP, challenging two of the state constitutional amendments that were passed last week. So we'll talk about that first. But Anna, thanks for being with us in the studio today. How are you?
Good. Doing well. Glad to be here. Thank you.
So the decision came down on Friday. Brian Collins, I think, was the judge's name in Wake County Superior Court, if I'm getting that right, striking down the two state constitutional amendments. What everyone's talking about is the reasoning behind it, which is essentially declaring that the General Assembly, because the lawmakers had been elected with unconstitutionally gerrymandered districts, which we know from many, many earlier rulings in the past.
Exactly.
But based on that, basically their action in putting those amendments on the ballot in the first place was illegitimate. And that's a pretty sweeping decision with a lot of implications.
It is, and really historic case. The North Carolina NAACP mm-hmm. argued that the General Assembly was the product itself of one of the largest unconstitutional racially gerrymanders ever encountered, and that was the ruling that came down from the court. In fact, surgical precision in terms of disenfranchisement of African American people, and that it therefore did not have the authority to put those constitutional amendments on the ballot. And so that was the argument that was made. Pretty sweeping, but the court agreed with the North Carolina NAACP and struck down two amendments because, and I'm quoting from the ruling now, that the constitutional amendments placed on the ballots on November 6, 2018 were approved by a General Assembly that did not represent the people of North Carolina. And it's a tremendous victory, you know, for the people of North Carolina. And it's a lot of work that's gone on over the last several years that called out the illegal maneuvering of the General Assembly and to finally hold that assembly accountable. Mm-hmm. Not surprising that the appeal has been filed. Berger, in his response to the governor's State of the State address on Monday, talked more about that almost than anything else in that follow-up mm-hmm. Rebuttal that he had. But so it's going to be appealed by the defendants. So the other side of that is, you know, the state NAACP and the Chapel Hill branch, as one of the six branch plaintiffs, have filed a lawsuit against the law that enacts those amendments. So, mm-hmm. The court battle
the December
will continue.
Law, right?
Yes. The court battle will continue.
And, I mean, as soon as the decision came down on Friday, I mean, people were talking about it and thinking about it, and the sweepingness of the decision becomes really apparent as soon as you start thinking out and teasing out the implications, because we're talking about a General Assembly that was elected in 2016 with unconstitutionally gerrymandered districts. Mm-hmm. And again, that's a decision that was made and affirmed and reaffirmed and reaffirmed mm-hmm. by several courts. So that's actually not in question here. But then that General Assembly gets elected in 2016 on gerrymandered districts and then proceeds to spend 2 years making one law after another
right.
after another. It's not just these. And then it's not just the 2016 election, right?
No.
Because the 2012 election was also made and the 2014 election.
Yes.
So you go back to January of 2013, basically, every single law that was passed by the General Assembly from that point on, was passed by lawmakers who had been elected unconstitutionally, basically.
Mind-boggling.
Yeah. And
think about it.
And it's very, very difficult to conceive of judges then stepping in and saying, well, based on that, what do we do about the laws that were passed for the last 6 years? And at the same time, they would not be wrong to start thinking about that, because otherwise there's no teeth in a law against gerrymandering.
That's
you
it,
can
that's
have,
right.
And this is what we've been talking about for the better part of this decade.
Yes.
It's a difficult issue.
It is a difficult issue. But how can you have legitimacy if your very election is called into question because it is illegal by, as affirmed, as you said, by multiple court cases. So this gets to the fundamental issue. It was, some people thought at the time that that particular lawsuit was filed, that it was far-reaching and maybe too far-reaching, but the court agreed, and much, much more to come. Much, much more to come.
Yeah, and I said we had this kind of different conversation last year when the courts weighed in on the what was it, two of the six constitutional amendments that were put on the ballot, where lawmakers had to go back and rewrite the language that was going to appear on the ballot, because there was such a disparity between the language that was going to be on the ballot, what the ballot was going to say versus what the law was actually going to do. There was such a gap between those two things that it actually violated North Carolinians' right to vote, to make a free choice. And that, when that decision came down, that surprised me, because that's a really high bar for a judge to say the General Assembly acted in such an egregious manner. But they had.
But
they had
and,
done
you know,
that.
Bottom line, as you know, many have noted, is that we should be picking the legislators, not the other way around.
Not the other way around, yeah.
And that's really the challenge to the system and to the right to vote, is if you are voting and the way that the districts have been set up predictably identifies who's going to win.
Yeah.
That's not democracy.
Yeah.
That's not democracy. So it is very fundamental.
Yeah.
And I was just looking here at the ruling, and it actually, in the ruling itself, in terms of statement of fact, goes all the way back to 2011.
Yeah.
So we are talking the better part of the last.
Yeah. And it really is. I mean, it really is striking that this is now not the first significant decision that's come down from a judge recently, where the General Assembly has acted so egregiously that judges are now stepping in and issuing rulings that you never see judges issuing.
Never. Well, and it does give one hope.
Yeah.
That we do have an independent judiciary. And even to the extent of what they did, what was done to reduce the number of judges on the state Supreme Court.
Or Court of Appeals.
The Court
in
of
that
Appeals.
Case. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Court of Appeals.
Yeah.
So there have been efforts to mess with the courts through this process. But it does give one hope that the judiciary is remaining independent.
Speaking with Anna Richards, Chapel Hill Carborough, NAACP, the other and a significant thing that we've been following on the local level now for the last few days is the recent developments regarding the two markers that were at least briefly side by side on Franklin Street there by UNC campus, the one that had been there for decades, the Jefferson Davis Memorial Highway marker that town officials had been finagling the legal process of trying to get rid of for some months, and then the marker that was put up by supporters of Maya Little recognizing the quote-unquote Negro wench that Julian Card referenced in his Silent Sam dedication speech. Both of those came down at both of those were taken down by town officials. What day was it? Friday that that happened, or Saturday?
Friday.
It
was just,
yeah,
I
Friday,
think it
right?
Friday.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Friday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thoughts about that? They haven't gone back up, and there hasn't been any development since then.
Well, I cringed when I heard that they were both taken down. It's, as you mentioned in your lead up, it's been decades for the Jefferson one to be there and for citizens calling for it to come down. I question whether or not there's a false equivalency in saying, well, because we took the Jefferson down, we have to take this other one down. And I think, you know, I haven't had a chance to talk to many city officials. I have had a couple of conversations, but there's been citizen debate, citizen input on the Jefferson one. It feels like there hasn't been that same level of conversation where the people who put up the other one talked to. Was there a rationale?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, there's been nothing said except, depending on who you talk to in city government, it wasn't our decision. It was so-and-so's decision. And so I was frankly disturbed because I think there seems to be set up some kind of false equivalency between the two. And if that's the rationale, then I think that's misguided.
Yeah. What is, and I don't know if there is an answer to this question yet. What's next in
well,
that process?
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
And that's where I'm saying there had been a lot of input on Jefferson Davis. There hasn't really been a community conversation about the other.
Mm-hmm.
Is there going to be? I have not heard what the plan is.
Yeah.
To do those actions in a vacuum, I think, leaves a lot to speculation. It creates mistrust, and people will create a reality if they don't get communication about what is real.
Mm-hmm. Speaking with Anna Richards, other things that people ought to know about upcoming events, other things?
Well, I was pleased in the governor's State of the State to hear him call for health care across the state of North Carolina. Now, he's been talking about that for a while. Tomorrow's the big advocacy day for health care for all y'all, as they say in North Carolina. I'm getting that North Carolina y'all down. It's been taking me a while.
It's a useful word, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
It is. But there's an advocacy day tomorrow in Raleigh, of I think from 10 to 2 tomorrow. You know, 500,000 plus North Carolinians would have health care the next day if that change happens. So I hope governor is serious about that, and I think tomorrow will be a big day toward making voices heard in support of that. So that's certainly something that we'll be involved in and supporting with many others across the state. He also talked about funding our public school education, which again, something that's near and dear to our heart. So we're watching and hoping that this change in Raleigh with the numbers means that we can start moving some of these things forward. Big climate change or environmental summit coming up this weekend as well. So lots going on. People get involved and let their voices be heard. I think there's enough out there for everybody.
Absolutely. And again, Chapel Hill Carborough, NAACP.com for more information on the Chapel Hill Carborough chapter of the NAACP. Anna Richards, thank you so much.
One more thing.
Yeah.
And that is that our branch meeting is going to be the second Saturday in March. So it's usually on the first Saturday, which we moved this month only to March 9th, and it's going to be at the United Church of Chapel Hill instead of at Rogers Road Community Center. So I want to make sure we've got it plastered everywhere, but hopefully people will remember that it's going to be second Saturday in March, and all are invited.
So not this Saturday, but next Saturday.
Yep.
Awesome. Again, Chapel Hill Carborough, NAACP.com for more. Anna Richards, thank you.
Thank you.